Welcome back to Kindled. I have an awesome episode for you today with Corey Johnson of Good Book Mom, one of my favorite Christian book reviewers. As you'll hear, she reviews all types of books for moms like me who have voracious readers and cannot keep up with all the books that are out there and need good recommendations, all that. We're also talking about the library today. How can you positively impact your local library using your requests, your relationship with a librarian, and other things Corey talks about? These really challenge me because I'm not a library person, but I kind of have to be now that we are homeschooling and that I have two kids who are just flying through books and soon will probably be three, eventually four. You gotta take part in the library at some point in some way, shape, or form. And so this conversation encouraged me to have a little bit better attitude about it because I'm not very pro-library, but I appreciate Corey's perspective and it was challenging for me and I think you will find it really interesting. So here is the conversation with Corey Johnson.
All right. So today on Kindled, I'm chatting with Corey Johnson of Good Book Mom. Corey, thanks for being here today.
Hey, Haley. Thanks so much for having me.
So before we get into our conversation all about the library and taking back the library as conservative Christians, I would love to hear, why did you get interested and kind of invested in this whole field of books and, you know, what kids are reading and helping moms navigate that? What brought that passion to your life?
Yeah, so I have a daughter. My oldest started reading chapter books at a very young age, and it was sort of this whole new world of what are we getting ourselves into? Like, how do I know I'm just handing you this book and trusting it's good? And so I started looking for a resource that would give me all the information I wanted as a parent quickly from a biblical worldview and through the same theological lens. And I just didn't find the resource that I was looking for. Mm-hmm. And so after praying about it and talking to my husband, we decided that I would just make the resource that I desired as a parent to have. Mm-hmm. At that time, we already owned over 750 children's books. So I will never count again. But it was something that just made sense. And so in November of 2019, Good Book Mom launched.
That's amazing. So you actually did count at that time then?
I did. I was like, I just wonder. I'm curious, but never again will I count. I don't want to.
Because it's only grown from there and you probably don't get rid of anything. Okay. All right. Where do you store all your books?
Oh, all the places you can imagine. I literally have a bookshelf in every room except the bathroom.
Wow.
Even our kitchen has a bookshelf. But we've talked recently about maybe changing one of our rooms into a pseudo library because mm-hmm. we are sort of running out of places to put bookshelves.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
We continue to expand on that.
Yeah, love that. I love the in-home library concept. Or you probably have seen like Sweet Sequels on Instagram. Mm-hmm. Her whole home is literally a library. Like every wall is covered with books.
So a mini version of that, essentially. Yeah. Is what we're hoping.
Yeah, I feel like it would drive me a little bit insane, though, how the book, there would always be books out, you know, like when there's books out now, I'm like, put them away. Come on, because my kids like leave them. They just read and leave. And anyway, I guess you could get some better habits in that area. So with that interest in trying to provide the resource that you felt you need, how did you develop that? Or what have you now created that actually meets the need in Good Book Mom?
Yeah. So I review not just Christian titles. I do, like, if you see what I post on social media, a lot of what I post are Christian titles, but the goal for Good Book Mom is to review all kinds of titles, secular, for ages 0 to 12. And so we try to give you all the information you would want to know. So we list things out as far as like language. We tell you all the words that we think are questionable and if they're used often. But we also try to hold things up to scripture. Any book needs to fall under subjection of scripture. And so whether that book is a picture book that's meant to communicate a theological idea to your child, or if it's a middle grade fiction that's just a fun read, we still want to make sure that those things are not glorifying sin or normalizing what God has said is sin, and weeding through those books that claim to be Christian, you know, going to the Christian section, we sometimes feel like we can let our guard down. And unfortunately, that's just not the case. Mm-hmm. So weeding through those titles as well. So both Christian and secular titles, just helping you to know exactly what's in it, as well as offering my personal, or I do have contributors as well, who are moms, their opinions,
mm-hmm.
viewing everything through a biblical worldview.
Yeah. Okay. That's awesome. Have you found that it's harder since, I mean, I guess you only started in 2019, but have you found that it has become harder as time goes on to find those good titles that are not somehow sneaking in some sort of ideology or deception within their pages?
I think that, to be honest, I think there's like nothing new under the sun. It's sort of the way that it is infiltrating the kids section that it didn't used to in maybe 10 years and prior. Mm-hmm. You know, we've always seen anti-biblical ideas in literature. Like, mm-hmm. that's not new. But the culture embracing the idea of like LGBTQ ideology front and foremost in picture books, in mm-hmm. board books, like that is newer.
Mm-hmm.
We haven't seen that. And we see that as a result of the turn of our culture. Literature reflects culture, and oftentimes yeah. then culture responds to literature.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, we see that definitely in a new way in the last 10 years than we have before. And so, yes and no, I think we've always had to be discerning. Wherever mm-hmm. God has put us in history, we've always needed to be discerning. It's mm-hmm. just the way that the culture has embraced
yeah.
anti-biblical ideas.
Right.
And there, at this and there, point in time,
there's more that's in your face and explicit, yes. you know, mm-hmm. than there ever was, because yes. we've just like morally declined. And as a nation, there's so much, you know, yeah, moral apathy and lack of really a moral compass or just standard of truth or goodness or rightness at all. But like you said, I don't think it's always, those are kind of the easy ones. Like knowing what's explicitly incorrect is pretty obvious. It's harder when it's subtle. And that's where moms, I think, feel, you know, hamstrung, because their kids are reading, they want them to be reading. The kids are finding things in the library or picking things up off this shelf at the bookstore going, oh, can I get this? This looks really good. And you're like, I have no idea. I don't know. I have no clue what's in these pages. I'm not going to read this book. How can I know what's safe? And you feel like you're so limited to just the explicitly Christian things. But even that, you're like, I have no idea. You know, some of these, you know, and I'm not even against them, but, you know, the Tuttle Twins books, you know, written by Mormons. And I think we just, we have to be aware at least of what is in the books or what worldview are they written from, just so we can have that knowledge. And I think knowledge is power. And if you know, then it's a lot less scary. And then you can always talk to your kid about it, even if it's something you choose to let them read. But it's just the lack of knowing that is pretty tough as a mom with voracious readers.
Yeah, which is exactly why I started Good Book Mom. It was mm-hmm. this sort of panic of, what am I handing my daughter?
Yeah.
How am I supposed to know all this? Like, there's got to be something out there. And I'm not the first, and I will not be the last Christian book reviewer. But the same theological lens I didn't find. And getting things in a concise way. Like, if I want to read a review, don't make me spend 45 minutes to find out what's mm-hmm. in this book.
Yeah.
You know, give it to me quick. Let me know the general idea, but I don't need to know all the details. Mm-hmm. Let me know what I would want to know ahead of time. And
yeah.
that's really why Good Book Mom started.
Yeah, for sure. That makes a ton of sense. I would want, yes, the Cliff Notes version of that. So getting into talking about the library, this is something that you talk a lot about, of how to kind of take back your library, to influence your local library. My listeners may know, if they follow me on Instagram, that I'm not really a library person. I've never gotten into it. I've never really felt comfortable there. I think a lot of it has to do with that my oldest was in kindergarten in the year of 2020. So right as we were starting to get into books and reading, everyone was wearing masks and you were getting yelled at if you didn't have your mask over your nose. And I just felt like it was a very hostile environment. And I live in a very, very blue area of Kansas. And so unfortunately, it just felt so icky to me that I was like, gross, I'm not going back here. And since then, I've made some strides because I do have girls that love to read and are flying through every American Girl book there is. And I'm like, I'm not going to go spend $500 on all these books. So I've kind of made some concessions and figured it out. But I'm not someone who is like very much a library lover. I just kind of, hold my nose and deal with it. So I would like you to kind of explain it to me like I'm five. How can we influence our library for good? What are the things that we as Christians can do that actually make a difference?
Yeah, and I would say I know that so every library is going to be different, right? Every library is staffed by different people. So whatever I'm about to say, some things are going to work better at others. Some things won't work at one library. Some things might work, all the things might work at one library. Every system is different, and within a system, each library itself is different. And so know that. And I would say too, if you at this point feel uncomfortable just even bringing your children, because I've had many people express, I don't even feel comfortable bringing my kids in the door because of the kinds of books that are being displayed prominently, like, hey, come look at me. There's always display books out, and how those are, pushing LGBTQ ideology, and parents just don't want to deal with it. I completely understand. Like, it's so hard. If you feel like you are able to, I would encourage you to talk to your kids before you go and just explain to them that the library is a collection of books that is pulled together by people who aren't Christians. And so there's going to be books at the library that do not align with God's word. Like, we have to know that ahead of time. And so even if a book looks really great from the cover, even if it looks like it would be so much fun, mom and dad always have the final say of what comes home. And if a book comes home and we don't realize until it's home that this book doesn't align with God's word, mom and dad always have the right to say, no, like, we're now going to veto this. So explaining to your kids ahead of time what the library is and how it functions a little bit, letting them know that it's not run by Christians, and the books collected are going to contain anti-biblical ideas. I think that that prepares them more to know, okay, just because it looks pretty, just because there's a girl that maybe looks like me or this sounds exciting, doesn't mean I get to just pull it off the shelf no matter what. So preparing your kids before you go. But the biggest tip that I can give you, which takes time and effort, but it is by far and away the most helpful thing that I can tell you, is to form a relationship with your librarian. And I know that in some circumstances that may seem like, are you kidding me? Like, have you met my librarian? They have a completely different worldview than I do, and they're very outspoken about it. And I'm just really uncomfortable with that idea. And I would encourage you to pray about it first and foremost. If you feel like this is a space that could support your family, if you are homeschooling, or if you have voracious readers, or even if you don't, and you want to make a change in a public space as a believer, it really actually isn't as difficult as we make it think, but you do have to be intentional about the relationship you have with your librarian. We need to remind ourselves that they are image bearers, no matter how different their worldview is. We have to look at them as not the enemy, that we don't battle against flesh and blood, that they are created in the image of God, and we need to respect them as such. And it can feel hard to do that when we think, well, they're cramming their beliefs down my throat. So It's an opportunity as a believer to engage with somebody that you know likely doesn't share your worldview, and pray for an opportunity to share the gospel with your librarian, because when it comes down to it, that's what your librarian needs. Like every other human being on the planet, we need the gospel. And so really you have this opportunity at your fingertips to connect with another image bearer who needs the gospel and affect your community for change. So that's it. It does take time. It does take intentionality, but it can be done even with a librarian who has drastically different views than you do.
Let me interrupt this episode one last time to tell you about the other sponsor of this episode, which is Alongside Them. This is one of my favorite sponsors because they are near and dear to my heart, and that's because they help me teach my children God's word. Catechizing your kids is a historically tried and true way to teach your children foundational truths from the Bible. And so catechizing encourages not only children, but also adults to gain a helpful and systematic understanding of what the Bible teaches. So I have a 9, almost 8, and 4-year-old right now. They are learning the catechism together. I read them the question, and then I read them the answer, and then we repeat it together several times, and then I go back and ask them the question themselves, and they can repeat it to me. And we're learning 3 or 4 of these a day, depending on the length. And it's super just, it's encouraging to my heart to see that they are learning these truths at such a young age when they are going to penetrate their heart and stay with them forever. So the other day we were outside working on this on the front porch, and then I texted my husband, who works from home, to come down and just listen to what the girls had learned, because it was really impressive, like having them read the answers to multiple, you know, questions that I could ask them, and they knew the answers. It's just such a blessing as a parent to have something to follow, flip through, easily kind of quiz your kids and learn together. So again, multiple ages can do this together. It can be easily integrated into your day. It does not take much time at all. You could even do it over breakfast or lunch. Check them out at comealongsidethem.com and use code KINDLED5 for $5 off your order. That's comealongsidethem.com, code KINDLED5 for $5 off.
Interesting. That's a new, I've not heard that perspective. I appreciate that you said that, because I think it is just viewed by a lot of us as kind of like a transactional thing, you know, and not something that's like, but how many positions in your community are like that? You know, it is a unique opportunity where the same few people are always there. And it's not like, you know, when you go through the Chick-fil-A drive-thru and you could get anyone and you don't have any time, it's you're like in a space with them. You could ask them questions. You could get to know, you know. Yeah, that's an interesting idea. That's challenging to me. So I'm glad you said that.
Yeah. And if you feel like you have nothing to talk about, find a book that's in your library that you do like, bring it to them and say, I just love this book and I would love to find more like this. Do you have titles that you could help me find? You know, just start bonding over books. That's a great starting place. Let them know the kind of books you're looking for and go from there.
Yeah, that's a good idea. Yeah. So as far as how we can, so I like the relational aspect of getting to know your librarian. What about the resources that the library offers? How can we make a difference on those or have any influence on those?
Yeah. And so if you are being intentional with your relationship with your librarian, these tips that I'm going to give you are going to probably be more effective because you have a relationship with them. But really, I mean, just easy things we can be doing. So the lifeblood of library books is checkouts. If a library book is not checked out, that will eventually be eliminated through a process called weeding that librarians do yearly or on a schedule. And so if a book is not being checked out, it will eventually disappear. And so if your library has titles that are good books, continue to check them out. And I would say, even if you don't have time in that moment to read them, every time I go to the library, I intentionally grab a book or two that I know I'm not going to have time to read, or a whole series. I'll grab the whole series and I know I'm not going to have time to read it, but I want those books to have another checkout counted toward them so that when they go through the weeding process, those books will not be at the bottom. They will stay in the system. And so it's so easy to do, just checking out books that are good, that are already in the library. And if you renew a book like online, oftentimes libraries will have the online system and you can renew your book online. That often counts for another checkout for your book. So, I mean, that's such an easy way to keep good books in your library. Oh, go ahead.
No, that's great.
Next, I would say that now this one is going to depend more on the library, but some libraries will take donations. You have to ask, but a lot will. So, and I know that that is like costing on your end. And so, you know, only certain people would be able to do this. But if you're able to afford to donate a book, you then know that that book will be on the shelf of your library, and then you need to check it out to make sure it stays there. But a lot of libraries have built into their budget a money specifically set aside to purchase patron requests. Not every library, but a lot of libraries do this. Sometimes it's actually so easy that it's right on your library's website, and all you have to do is go to their website and request a title, and they buy it. Some systems, it's that easy. That's how mine is, and it's a blessing. And I know that there are many systems that are like that. Some you will need to approach your librarian and say, "Do you take patron requests? I would love to have this book," and let them know. Sometimes there's a form you have to fill out, and some libraries don't do this, but I think you would be surprised at how many libraries do take patron requests, and you can request overtly Christian titles. I live in a small community, but it's next to a big community that's very blue. And so we sort of have a half and half, but our library tends to be a little bit more liberal. And I have had great success requesting, I mean, overt from the cover titles of Christian books that are in our library, just because I requested them. So you'd be surprised at how many allow this and even encourage it because they have these funds. And a good library should reflect its community. And so if your community is requesting a certain type of book, those should be found more in your library because that is what your community needs. We have some librarians that have stepped away from the zone of neutrality and feel like the library, as a librarian, it is their job to inform people of, you know, what they feel is the right point of view. But we do still have lots of librarians that feel the library should be a neutral ground. And if that's the case, we'll respect and reflect what the community desires to have at their own library.
Is there, do you may not know this, but is there a limit to how many of these requests you could make
So
as
it
a
completely
patron?
depends on the system. Some systems, I mean, don't even allow patron requests. They don't have it in their budget. Some, it's just a number that they have to spend each year. And so whenever those funds are used up, I actually had, I can't remember if it was a Canadian, I had somebody that was not in the States say, "I can request up to 30 titles a month." And I went, "That's incredible. I've never heard of that." And maybe it's because nobody there knows about it. And so they allow that. They have the funds to do that. But it's going to completely vary depending on your system. They may not do it at all. They may have a wild amount of funds and let you request all that you want, but you won't know until you ask.
And just for, newbies like me, is this where you said you would probably have to go in physically, or maybe there would be a spot on the website to do that? So it
Yeah,
could
I would
depend on the
start
system.
looking on the website, and see, because some libraries make it very obvious, you know, request a title. So it could be a very easy process online. If you don't, I would just call the library and say, you know, I'm a patron wondering if you take patron requests. I'd love, and make sure at that moment you say, I'd love to have whatever the book is on the shelves, and see what their policy is there. Because even if they don't take patron requests, if they don't have the budget for that, letting the librarian know that these are the kinds of books that I'd like to see on my shelf, that should, a good librarian, it should influence their decisions of what they're purchasing when they do have the funds to purchase new titles. So make sure that you're saying the titles or describing the kinds of books. I'm looking for some middle grade fiction that has, that's clean and has really great family values. Like, do what do you have on the shelf, or could we order some in? You know, describing the types of books too is helpful for librarians.
I want to tell you about a new sponsor that I'm so excited about, and that is We Heart Nutrition. We Heart Nutrition is a pro-life company that offers the highest quality vitamins available for women. They are patriotic, family-owned, run by a husband and wife duo, Jacob and Kristen. They have four young kids, and they saw a big hole in the vitamin industry for a company with wholesome ingredients, but also wholesome values. Now, supplements are not required by the FDA to be third-party tested, but We Heart Nutrition does that anyway because they want you to know what is in the vitamins that you're taking. Their supplements use the highest quality, research-backed ingredients, always in the most bioavailable form, which means that your body can actually absorb them, unlike many other brands. They are unapologetically pro-life and donate 10% of sales off the top directly to Christian pregnancy care centers. Most of the major multivitamins are owned by corporations that donate directly to Planned Parenthood. Ones that I have used, I did not even realize this, Ollie and Smarty Pants, owned by Unilever, One A Day, owned by Bayer, Centrum and Emergen-C, owned by Pfizer. So if you want to put your money towards a company that supports your values and will deliver top-tier quality supplements and vitamins, visit weheartnutrition.com and use code KINDLED for 20% off your first order. That is weheartnutrition.com, code KINDLED for 20% off.
What if you had to make, you know, a case to a mom who's like, I hate the library. I don't believe in it. I'm not going to step foot in there. What would your case be at from Christian to Christian? You know, obviously that's my audience. From a biblical worldview for why she should reconsider. What is the biblical, you know, from your perspective, what is the most compelling argument for being engaged in the library like you've been describing, kind of even if you're not going to read something, making requests, that sort of thing?
Yeah, I would say that, you know, I do not know your situation. And so I can't speak exactly to your library system. Maybe it is remarkably liberal and you have a remarkably liberal head librarian. So approach it, I would say first, approach it with prayer. Make sure that the reason you feel compelled to not be there is the spirit's leading and not a decision that you have come to as just sort of a gut reaction. So be prayerful about it. And then moving forward from that, I would say that this is such a unique space that as a you are likely paying taxes to support your public library. And so you have a say as a patron. If you live within the bounds of that public library, you do have a say because your taxes are going to fund it. And it's a unique space in the sense that the goal of the library is supposed to be to serve its community. And so, kind of what we talked about before, though, that there are really easy ways to make a change. And when we do these things that easily sort of shift the books that are on the shelves in our library and the environment that the library creates. So having, I mean, if you thought about if you have a small group or even just like the ladies at your church, if a group of friends, if you were all intentional about going to the library, connecting with your librarian, expressing really respectfully what you'd love to see at your library, if we all were intentional about that, I think the effect that it would have on public libraries would be profound. But many believers have simply written it off because of the state that they see either their local librarian or where they see it on the news and where things seem to be heading. And really, each library is sort of its own living being with their own staff. And we really can have a drastic influence for our community in such a simple, simple way.
Yeah, I think that's maybe like my biggest takeaway. And I think about all of my Christian friends who live in my area who, you know, go to church with me. We might live within 10, 15 minutes of each other and likely use the same library, you know, or at least the same couple libraries. There's kind of two that I would typically go to. Imagining if, like, not just I did that, but if, you know, my 10 or 15 closest friends from church were doing that too. Like, that would say a lot to the librarian. That would actually, they'd be like, wow, we have a really big Christian community here. Or, man, there's a lot of homeschoolers, or there's a lot of, you know, there would be some kind of impression that they would have of who is patronizing the library. And I think that's probably the most, you know, compelling reason to me is that it doesn't feel like you're, it doesn't feel like a lot if it's just one person. If multiple people in your community and you and your friends are doing this, like it's not just you. It's actually gonna have an impact on what is available to all of your families, but also to the community as at large. And like you said, if all it takes is a phone call or clicking around on a website or, you know, at stopping by the desk as you're leaving and just talking to them for a second, it seems like a relatively low cost to having potential big impact.
Oh my goodness, absolutely. And there's always strength in numbers, right? And so, I mean, if you did that with your friends and even let them know, "Hey, I found this adorable picture book, you know, even if it's not a Christian title, like I just found this really sweet book. Here it is, like, you know, if you have it at your house, take a picture of it, send it to your friends, make sure that they're checking it out. Or we checked out this book or we read this book. It's definitely one you want to avoid." Even small things like that, they're going to make a blip in the system. And if you do think about the all the conversations, even if they're small, and the interactions that your librarians could be having with believers, we want to make sure, like we talked about before, that we're approaching our librarians as image bearers and not, you know, going in there with guns blazing. But talking to them respectfully. We can respectfully express our opinion, but if we have an established relationship with them, just like anybody, right? If you have an established relationship with them, they're gonna listen to you a lot more than somebody that they don't know at all. They have no relationship with, and they walk in, you know, really upset about something. They're going to take a lot more seriously somebody that they've talked to and connected with and see as another person and not just a patron. But yes, what an effect, even if just five of you were constantly going in and, you know, regularly having conversations with them, making an impression on your librarian's life, letting them know the kinds of books that you'd like to see and requesting titles. I really think we could shift the environment quickly, much more easily than we think.
This may seem silly, but you know, like in when you go to the kids section and the librarian and the kids area is sitting there at their computer, my impression is that they don't want to be bothered. Is that inaccurate? Is it like, do they want people to come up and ask for help? Because actually my oldest daughter is very willing to just like walk up and be like, "Can you help me find this book?" And I'm always just like, "Let's just go look for it. Let's find it ourselves. We'll find it ourselves." And she's just like, "Well, I'll just go ask her." And I'm like, "But she looks busy." You know, like what do you think about that?
Yeah, I think, I mean, it depends on the personality, but I would say if your child is willing to go ask for help, that gets at the
Perfect.
heart of almost every librarian. Oh, to
Right.
have a kid desiring to find a book, especially if that librarian is working in the children's section, like that is going to resonate probably even more than you going to talk to. And if your child brings a book to them and says, I really like this book. Are there others like it? That's going to resonate hugely with the
Yeah,
library.
that's my oldest would love to do that. I'm usually the one like holding her back.
Yeah, I mean, be prayerful, but I say that's great. It would really make an effect on that librarian.
Okay, cool. Shifting gears a little bit, what are the actual offerings that Good Book Mom has to help people? I know you have like book lists, I know you have membership and all kinds of different options. So could you kind of walk us through what those look like?
Yeah, so actually, April is Christian Book Month, which Good Book Mom started last year to encourage Christians to read something written by a believer during the month of April, and also to encourage them to engage at their public libraries. And so I actually made a free mini course to help you engage intentionally at your public library. If I talk, I give some more tips. I sort of unpack why the public library is the way it is, how we got to this point, to help you understand things better. And so those are all found on goodbookmom.com. And on goodbookmom.com, you can get free book reviews. We if you type in a title or an author, you can see what books we have reviewed. Those are completely free. And then we also offer a membership, which you get instant access to our curated book lists. And Good Book Mom right now serves children's books ages 0 to 12. Maybe I'm hoping someday to expand to teens, but man, there's a lot of books 0 to 12. So we're focusing in on 0 to 12 right now. But you can get curated book lists for, I have tons of lists. A lot of them are Christian centered, but I also have lots of themed lists that you can take to your library to just request, like, feel very confident just requesting titles. And I have like a book list that's theology books, that's th kids' theology books that are good enough for adults, biblical marriage and gender. So lots of different book lists that you can take a look at. And finally, Good Book Mom also has a biblical alternative to scholastic book orders. And this is for discerning schools, churches, co-ops, and even just families. If you're an organization, you can earn money back to purchase books for your organization through 10 of those, which is an online Christian bookseller. But if you're a family, really what it is it's just a digital magazine and anybody can order from it. And it comes about 4 times a year. So you can sort of stay up to date with what Christian books are being offered new throughout the year. And all of that you can find on goodbookmom.com. And you can also find me on Facebook and Instagram at goodbookmom.
Okay, perfect. Man, so much good information, Corey. I really appreciate what you're doing and just the encouragement to kind of view those people in our community as image bearers and look for those opportunities. I think that's like a different spin on it that is a little more compelling to me than even just, using the library to get books. 'Cause, a lot of us are like, man, I'd just rather buy the book or own it. And I'm at the point where definitely I have to use the library because these girls are flying through these books and I'm like, wow, multiple books a week. Okay. which is awesome. And I want to encourage that. So
Absolutely.
I think that perspective kind of helps me have a little bit better attitude about it. So I appreciate that.
Oh, absolutely. And can I just say, like, even librarians that have completely different worldviews, my librarian is an open Marxist man, whom I love dearly, and we chat often. And he asked me, he actually has done an interview for me. He knows exactly where I stand and my worldview. He's done an interview for me on Good Book Mom, and he asked me to be on the library board. And so it is not impossible to connect with somebody who has a drastically different worldview than you and to love them, even if they want nothing to do with your worldview, and to have an effect, even if you feel like maybe that person is standing in your way, if you have a relationship with them, you'd be amazing at the influence that you are able to have. And not to use your relationship as a, you know, a tool to wield, as far as I'm only having this relationship so
Yeah,
that I
no.
can have
Right.
influence, but loving them, truly loving them as an image bearer.
That's cool. So you're on the library board then.
I am on the public library board, yes.
Wow. That's amazing. I don't even know what that means or what
Well,
kind
I'm
of.
brand new to it, so
Okay.
I am learning myself, but yes, it's been interesting so far, and I'm so thankful and grateful to be there.
That's really cool. Man, such good things and thoughts for us to take. And everyone should go check out your website at goodbookmom.com. Thank you for coming on. I appreciate having you here today.
Thank you so much for chatting, Haley. I appreciate it.